Second Samuel 22. This is hallelujah. Prayer of David. The whole chapter is good, but we're going to just read the first four verses. Let's pray. Lord, we love you today, and we thank you again for all you're doing in our lives. Thank you for our dedication service last night, for each person here, and Lord, what you're doing in our lives. We know that you ever live to make intercession for us. You're for us and not against us. You certainly have a plan for our lives. We bless your name this morning. In Jesus' name, amen. 2 Samuel 22, beginning with verse 1, then David spoke to the Lord the words of this song on the day when the Lord had delivered him from the hand of all of his enemies and from the hand of Saul. And he said, the Lord is my rock and my fortress and my deliverer, the God of my salvation, in whom I will trust, my shield and the horn of my salvation, my stronghold, my refuge, my Savior. You save me from violence. I will call upon the Lord, who is worthy to be praised. So shall I be saved from my enemies. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. You know, needing to be saved from enemies is something that I would venture to say none of us have really experienced. If we lived in some of the Muslim countries today, we might need to be praying this prayer. But we do have enemies. The devil is the enemy of our soul, and all of his demonic imps constantly bombard us with doubt, fear, unbelief, dread, uncertainty, fear. And so, though we may not physically be threatened by enemies, we certainly know that the devil is a roaring lion seeking whom he may devour. We've talked the last couple of Sundays about the Lord is my shepherd and the Lord is my strength. This morning, the text from verse 2, the Lord is my rock. The Lord is my rock. Just as the Lord is my shepherd, and just as the Lord is my strength, the Lord is my rock. Aren't you glad he's our rock this morning? Jesus is the rock, because in verse 3, he says, the God of my rock, Jesus, in him I will trust. I read from the New King James this morning, it says, the God of my strength. But in King James, it says, the God of my rock. Now, how can the Lord be my rock and the God of my rock? It has to be Jesus, doesn't it? Jesus is the rock. I said, Jesus is the rock that rolled my blues away, right? Have you ever heard that song? So he's the rock, and in him I trust. In order to trust in someone or something, you have to have a feeling that they are trustworthy. You have to have a feeling that they are immovable, unlike sand, that they're not fickle, that they won't be here today and not be there tomorrow. And so when we say the Lord is my rock, we understand it's speaking of a strength and a stability and a constancy that will always be there in our lives. Regardless of whether we're on the mountaintop or in the valley, regardless whether we're healthy or we're sick, regardless of whether we're happy or we're sad, the Lord doesn't change, and he is our foundation. He is our rock. Now, we all know the story that Jesus told, the parable of the wise man who built his house on the rock, and the foolish man who built his house on the sand. I wasn't raised in a Christian home, but I had a godly grandmother And when we would come from West Tulsa to Tahlequah to visit my grandmother, sometimes we would spend the night with my mom's mom, my grandmother, at which point I would get taken to church. And my cousin Debbie that was here, we were very small, and we would go up in front of that little country church, and I didn't know the words. I'm kind of mumbling the words until I caught on, but we're doing the wise man build his house, and you're doing the little hand sign on the rock, you know. And so that song and that story stayed with me for years until when I was just 19, just before my 20th birthday, I got saved. And it's amazing how much of those memories begin to come back. Some of the songs that I halfway slept through on those wooden pews with no pads, that I begin to remember them when I got saved. And so don't forget that seeds are important. You may not get to see the harvest, but even a little song like that can speak wonders. And so, of course, the parable tells us that the foolish man who built his house on the sand, his house fell. And Jesus said, great was the fall. And our house is really our life. It's we live in this house called our body. Our spirit man is in there, and it will experience storms, spiritual storms from hell, spiritual storms from man. You know, just because the devil doesn't show up with a pointy tail and a pitchfork doesn't mean that he doesn't attack you, and he sometimes uses people to bring you down. And so our life is like that house. And I know I'm preaching to the choir, but just bear with me here. When these things come, if our house is not built on Jesus Christ, the rock, then great will be the fall. And people change like sifting sand, don't they? I can put my trust in man, and he can say, I'm going to do this, and I'm going to do that, and they may do all those things. But then one day they may fail us. Marriages fail. Banks fail. Jobs fail. There may be a lot of things in your life that you may think, oh, well, that they'll never do that, or this would never happen, or that would never happen. But apart from Jesus Christ, everyone and everything else is shifting sand. There is nothing we can trust other than Jesus. Our life is shifting sand. The things that we think are stable are not stable. The things we think are immovable are not immovable. The things we think are safe at times are not safe. And so it is foolish to build our lives, our house, our lives on anyone or anything other than the person of Jesus Christ. He's our rock. Amen. Psalm 118:22, the stone which the builders refused or rejected has become the head stone of the corner. Psalm 118:22. The story, of course, was that when they were building Solomon's temple, the stone cutters cut the corner of the chief cornerstone and shipped it up there, and they're building and they're saying, this stone's cut wrong, and they pushed it and it rolled down an embankment in the weeds. And then they came to the corner and they said, hey guys, you didn't send the cornerstone. And they said, yeah, we sent that 2 days ago. It's got to be there. Look around for it. And the psalmist said, the stone that the builders rejected became the chief cornerstone. Now, of course, that was prophetic of the Pharisees, and Jesus quoted it to them because he is the chief cornerstone, and they rejected him. Amen. And there are people today that say, well, I'm not one of those Jesus freaks, and I don't want anything to do with that. And to their own shame, if they don't get saved, if they don't repent, and they wake up in hell, they'll realize that I rejected the chief cornerstone. I rejected the rock. In Matthew 21:42, Jesus said, did you never read in the scriptures, the stone which the builders rejected, the same become the head of the cornerstone. This is the Lord's doing, marvelous in our eyes. Therefore I say unto you, the kingdom of God shall be taken from you and given to a nation, bringing forth the fruit thereof. And whoever shall fall on this stone shall be broken, but whoever it falls on, it will grind him to powder. That's pretty heavy, isn't it? Now, you may read that and you go, what in the world does that mean? But there's a beautiful picture of it in the Old Testament in the book of Daniel. If you remember the story, Nebuchadnezzar had a dream. And in that dream, he dreamed of a statue with a head of gold and chest of silver and an abdomen of bronze and legs of iron and feet of iron and clay mixed. And they represented the kingdoms that would rise over Israel from Babylon to Babylon, Medo-Persia, Greece, Rome, and then a revived Roman Empire in the last days. But then there is the statement that while he was watching the statue, a stone cut out without hands smashed the image in the feet, and it all crumbled into powder, and the winds blew it away. I'm here to tell you, Jesus Christ is coming again. And the kingdoms of this world will become the kingdoms of our God and of our Christ. And all of the remnants of any man's kingdom will be blown away, and Jesus will set up his throne. Amen. He is the stone cut out without hands that is grinding it to powder. Hallelujah to God. In Isaiah 28:16, we read, therefore, thus says the Lord God, behold, I lay in Zion for a foundation, a stone, a tried stone, a precious cornerstone, a sure foundation. He that believes shall not make haste. Now, I love this verse. There's so much in it. Because first, it puts so much emphasis on this rock. It's not only a stone, it's a tried stone. It worked for my grandmother. It worked for Paul and Silas in that prison. It worked for the saints that were persecuted and martyred for the last 2,000 years, and it hasn't changed. It is still a tried stone. And we say, taste and see that the Lord is good. This is a tried stone. You know, maybe you tried Islam and it didn't work. Maybe you tried Buddha and it didn't work. Maybe you tried other religions and it didn't work. But I'm here to tell you, Jesus is the rock. He is our source. He is our strength. And he is a tried stone. You can put your trust in him. Praise God. A precious cornerstone. Precious Lord, take my hand. You know, when we use that word precious, it's a word of intimacy. We talked about Nola sang that song, Lord, I worship you alone. It's an intimate relationship. So he is not only a tried stone, he is an intimate relationship with us. Aren't you glad that Jesus can be a tried stone and a precious stone at the same time? Praise God for that. And then he says, a sure foundation. I had someone say to me, how can you be so sure that Jesus is the only way? I said, because I believe. Now, that messes with people's heads because they want something more. There is nothing more. Chuck Misler pointed out, it's not seeing is believing, it's believing is seeing. When you take that first step of faith and believe and trust in the Lord, then you know that you know that you know. I found the answer to all of life's problems. I found the answer to my fears. I found the answer to my anxiety. I found the answer to all these things. He that believes shall not make haste. Now, I was raised in a very stable home. I had a mother and a father that loved each other, not that they didn't argue. And even though it wasn't a Christian home, I knew love. I knew what it was like to be loved by a mom and a dad. And it was a secure home. And so And so I didn't really know what fear or anxiety was. And then I joined the Air Force, and I do remember one time getting screamed at where I had to tighten my muscles, you know, where you, like you get so scared you about wet your pants or something. And that was all the psychological stuff of basic training. But even that wasn't that bad. And then I had a wife, and I had three kids, and my life, I was doing kids ministry for a while, and then we started Faith Fellowship. And my life changed, and I know I bring up this a lot, but it's my testimony. It's what I went through. I experienced something that I had never experienced before. I didn't have a word for it. And I described it to someone. I said, I'm having these sensations. I feel like, and I was trying to find the words, like I'm falling, or you mean like the ground's dropping? Yeah, like the ground's dropping out from underneath me. And they said, well, that's anxiety. Have you never experienced anxiety before? I said, I guess I haven't. So, you know, it was 2006. I had lived a number of years. And all of a sudden, I experienced this thing that people say. I thought anxiety was, you know, they're anxious. I didn't know what it felt like, but it feels like the ground is dropping out from underneath. You feel it in your stomach, and you have these panic attacks. And I begin to experience that. And I had to call on the name of the Lord, who is a sure foundation. And I said, Lord. And all hell was combating me. I said, I believe. I believe. And I know I've shared this with you. I had the peace that passed understanding. I felt like I was literally in heaven. I had no anxiety, no depression, no fear, no emotion, negative emotion at all. And I never experienced that anxiety after that. So God can do it. And how does he do it? Because Jesus is the rock. The Lord is my rock. The Lord is my foundation. And I'm here to tell you, if the devil is making you feel like you're about to drop through the floor, I have good news. The Lord is our rock. I said, the Lord is our rock. He is a sure foundation. And he that believes shall not make haste. In other words, when you believe, you don't freak out. You don't go running. You don't say, what am I going to do? Amen. In Matthew 7:24, Jesus said, therefore, whosoever hears these sayings of mine and does them, I will liken to him as a wise man who builds his house on the rock. Now, if you ask people, is Jesus your rock? Oh, yeah, I believe in Jesus, but that's really not what the parable says. It said, he that hears these words of mine and does them. And does them. So I bet if you would go out and you would interview 20 Christians who go to church regularly, read their Bible, you would probably, the majority of them would probably be asked, is Jesus your rock? Why is he your rock? Why is your foundation? Because I believe. That's probably the pat answer. But the biblical answer is, if my house is built on a rock, it's because I hear the words of Jesus and I do them. You know, the Bible talks about being a hearer of the word, but not a doer, right? And so to cultivate that foundation, that sure foundation in our life, we don't just hear the words, we do them. 2 Timothy 2:19, nevertheless, the foundation of God stands sure. Having this seal, the Lord knows them that are his, and let everyone that names the name of Christ depart from iniquity. God's foundation is sure. If you read the headlines, you might get a little freaked out, but God's foundation is sure. You say, well, you know, the one world government's about to take over. They're going to assassinate the president and fulfill their objective of a one world government, and the mark's going to come. You know what? The foundations of God stand sure. It doesn't matter what the government does. It doesn't matter what the economy does. It doesn't matter what anything happens. The foundations of God stand sure. This world can't move God's foundation. The politicians can't move God's foundation. The economics can't move God's foundation. God's foundation stands sure, having this seal stamped on it. And what is the seal? The Lord knows those who are His. He says, that's mine, and he's mine, and she's mine, and he's mine. Aren't you glad the Lord knows us? Aren't you glad our name is written in heaven? And you know what? That's all that really matters. Jesus said, don't glory demons or subject to you. But your name's written in heaven, that the Lord knows you. Hallelujah. I am a friend of God. Jesus has got my name written in heaven. I mean, that's good enough for me. How about you? That's good enough for me. And so the Lord knows that those are His, and that's the seal of the foundation of my life. Jesus knows me. Jesus saved me. Jesus lives in my heart. Jesus is coming for me someday. It's all going to be all right. Now, other people's foundations or rocks may be money or power or control. And you can talk to people, and you've met them. You know, they're trusting in their money. They're trusting in their position or their power. And if you challenge that, they will get in your face, because that's their strength, that's their power. But in Deuteronomy 32:31, and I love this verse, it says, for their rock is not our rock. Woo! Look out, devil. You know what? Sometimes the world can feel a little intimidating, because they do have the power, and they do have the money, and they do have, you know, and they could pass a law and have us all thrown in jail. But their rock is not our rock. And I'm glad this morning that their rock is not our rock. I'm glad that no matter what power they think they have, their rock is not as strong as our rock. And we read it, our rock is going to crumble their rock into dust. Come on, let's just give Jesus a hand clap right there. Glory to God, their rock is not our rock. Praise the Lord. Amen. And so, their rock is not our rock, even our enemies themselves being judges. Psalm 62:1, truly my soul waits upon God, and from Him comes my salvation. He only is my rock and my salvation. He is my defense. I shall not be greatly moved. Now, how do I practice this when I get out of church and I face the challenges of life? Well, I think we have to memorize these verses. I think we need to meditate on them, because they're great to hear in sermons, but I don't need them on Sunday morning. I need them on Thursday night, or I need them on Friday afternoon when a challenge happens. Yeah. And so we need to memorize these. Their rock is not our rock. We need to memorize, truly my soul waits upon God. From Him comes my salvation. He only is my rock. So that's Psalm 62:1-2. He only is my rock and my salvation. He is my defense. I shall not be greatly moved. Psalm 94:22. But the Lord is my defense, and my God is the rock of my refuge. And then 1 Peter 2:6. Wherefore also it's contained in Scripture. Behold, I lay in Zion a chief cornerstone, elect, precious. Of course, we read this from Isaiah. And he that believes on Him shall not be confounded. And so Peter quoting it in the New Testament. Now, I want to go back before we close, and I want to look at our text from 2 Samuel again, because there's so much in here. The Lord is my rock and my fortress and my deliverer. Right there. So, really, it's not just the bottom. It's the four sides around it, too. That's what a fortress is, right? Yeah, that means we've got a firm foundation. We've got protection from the north, the south, the east, the west, right? And then He's my deliverer. So, well, what if a drone comes from the top? Yeah, but He's my deliverer. He delivers us. And then He says, the God of my strength, in whom I will trust. Now, sometimes I'm not as spiritual as I act on Sunday morning. Sorry, I know that probably comes as a shock to you guys. And I may not feel as strong as I need to be. But look at this in verse 3, he says, the God of my strength. He's the God of my strength. Not my, my strength is not my strength when the God is the God of my strength. He's my strength. So, and what did Paul say? When I'm weak, therefore am I strong, for his grace is sufficient. Aren't you glad that the grace of God makes God the God of my strength? And then that's in whom I trust. I don't trust in my strength. My strength will fail. But I trust in the God of my strength. My shield and the horn of my salvation. You know, we know that Paul taught us in the Ephesians, the spiritual armor, that the shield is the shield of faith. Right? But then we read in 1 Corinthians, the life that I now live in the flesh, I live by the faith of the Son of God, not in the Son of God. And so even my faith comes from God. So my strength comes from God. My faith comes from God. My faith is my shield. It's kind of like, wait a minute, what am I freaking out about? God is everything. He's my shield. He's my strength. He's my horn of salvation, my stronghold and my refuge, my place to hide, my Savior, and He saves me from violence. Praise the Lord. In Him I will trust. Come on up, Miss Nola. What are you afraid of? You don't have to raise your hands this morning, but I was totally taken back that so many people knew what anxiety was when I had never experienced it until 2006. And I don't know if you've ever experienced it, but I learned the answer to anxiety, that Jesus is my rock. You may feel like you're about to fall through the ground. You may have those feelings in your stomach. You may have anxiety and panic attacks. But when you put your faith in the foundational power of Jesus Christ, He is the answer for anxiety. Praise the Lord. I'm sorry, I just get happy when I think about that. What a glorious thing to understand. And you know what? I thought of this the other day. I would never have experienced the power of the foundational strength of Jesus Christ had I not needed it in that time of my life. And so, you know, whatever your need is, God is there waiting for you to say, Lord, I believe I have this need in my life. I need you as my shield. I need you as my strength. I need you as my firm foundation. And He is so anxious to be there and to help us at those times in our life. Praise the Lord. I said praise the Lord.
Praise the Lord.
Amen. Shall we pray? Father, we thank You today that the Lord is my rock. That the Lord is our rock. What a great rock You are. What a strong foundation You are, Lord. And so, Lord, I just pray that in the days and weeks to come, as we have meditated on how You are our shepherd and how You are our strength, that we will remember that You are a rock, a firm foundation. Thank You, Lord, for shepherding us, for watching over us and keeping us and providing for our needs. Thank You, Lord, for being our strength. We will not fear what can man do to us. And thank You, Lord, for being our rock, our sure foundation, that we can not be afraid. We cannot have anxiety. We cannot feel uncertain because the world's rock, not our rock, the foundations of God stand as sure. The Lord knows those who are His. Praise the Lord. Thank You, Jesus. We give it all to You, Lord. We know that you can carry it, that you won't sink under the weight. You're our firm foundation. In Jesus' name, amen. Come on, sing with us.
Oh, let the Son of God enfold you with His Spirit and His love. Let Him fill your life and satisfy your soul. Let Him have the things that hold you and the Spirit like a dove will descend upon your life and make you whole. Jesus, oh Jesus, come and fill your land.
Bless you this week and keep you and make His face shine upon you in Jesus' name.